Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Friends of Kevin Radio Show. The Friends of Kevin Radio Show helps promote businesses, nonprofits, and artists. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, send us an email to kevin@friendsofkevin.com. To learn more about the Friends of Kevin Networking Group and to see a list of upcoming events, visit the website of Friends of Kevin. So today I got my longtime friend Michael Barrows with us. Michael's a real estate attorney, and I'll talk a little bit about buying and selling homes today. Hey, Michael, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kevin. Thanks for having me on today.
So, Michael, I want you to start off by giving our listeners some good advice to not make the mistake that I made in my life. So as little kids, Cheryl and I are out on the proverbial Sunday drive, and we see an open house sign. So Cheryl and I, again, naive kids, go running and like, wow, this place is amazing. And then I asked, how much does this place cost? And it was about three times what I could afford. And then Kevin was very sad. So isn't it important for people to get qualified for a mortgage before they even consider buying a home?
Yes, that's probably the first thing a potential new homeowner should do is seek out a potential lender, getting suggestions from friends, neighbors, realtors, or maybe even a real estate attorney. Not all lenders are created equally, so you want to get somebody who's really experienced and is also able to review your current situation, because really no two borrowers are alike. So it's important that you disclose everything to the potential lender and then get your pre-qualification letter from there. And then that way you know how much you can afford, how much you can put down, and then you can start seeking out a realtor who would be able to suggest some potential properties and suggest some potential towns to look at.
Yeah, like you said, it really does get kind of awkward when you make the mistake I made. And then, of course, when you see homes you can afford, when you start with one that's three times what you can afford, it's not quite the same home, obviously. So I think that's very important advice. And I like what you said, Michael, about, you know, being upfront about everything. You know, if you're asking someone to pre-qualify you, you need to tell them about, you know, your obligations in life. You know, if you have,
exactly,
you know, child support or something like that. You know, it's, and obviously it's all going to come out in the end, so you really should just be upfront about it, you know, so that you're not in a situation where, you know, you maybe think you can afford something you can't. And the other thing that, you know, I guess I'm not surprised by it, is a lot of times people don't realize just how much of a home they can afford, you know, so
exactly,
they're looking at something that might be 50% less than they can afford, you know, just because they didn't know how to, you know, get qualified or do the math on it, so. Makes a big difference. So,
exactly.
Michael, I want to
and
talk
sometimes
about
just,
some of
if
the
I
offers.
Just, sounds
oh, go
ahead.
So,
no, I was just going to interject.
People,
it's just
go ahead.
I was just going to interject. It's also when you say put out all your cards on the table. Sometimes even I don't know what's important and what's not important. So it is essential that you let your mortgage consultant, broker, banker, et cetera, know everything. So
now I want to talk about some of the offer to purchase and sale agreement. Because I find that people use them all interchangeably, and they're two separate things, right?
Exactly. So the offer to purchase in Massachusetts is a contract, and it's in writing, it's signed by everybody. It needs to contain the property address, the purchase price, closing date, and any contingencies, whether that be a mortgage contingency, inspection contingency, and whether or not some brokers put it in there, whether you want to leave it to a agreeable purchase and sale agreement. But that is a legal binding contract, and a lot of times what I'll find is that that's already done by the realtor, and I have to accept those terms. So if those terms are that the closing's the day after Christmas, that's when the closing is going to take place. So it's important that you seek out, you make sure you look at the dates, you make sure you're able to comply with those dates. And it's important also that you speak with your loan officer and that the loan officer is able to comply with those dates too, because it's very difficult sometimes with certain sellers to change those dates in the course of a closing. So it's important that the offer to purchase be thought through and that you actually look at those before it's submitted by your realtor.
So before you jump on to the purchase and sale, I got a follow-up question on the offer to purchase. Should I hire an attorney? Should I reach out to you to help me with the offer to purchase, too, to make sure that I don't trip myself up on something that just naively I think, hey, you know, my financing can be arranged in 10 days or something? It doesn't,
yes.
Does it make sense to have an attorney review
yes.
it to stop me from
yes.
making that?
Yes.
Cool.
You know, I had a closing recently that was on the Monday after the long 4th of July weekend. Obviously, that makes things difficult where the lender was not opened on Friday. So just simple things like that, running it by the loan officer, putting a phone call in there and saying, well, this is when we have to have the commitment by. Are you able to do that? And some lenders will say sure, or other lenders will say no, I think you want to put another week on there. So sometimes the realtors are anxious to get the deal done, and I appreciate that. But it's important that everyone work as a team. And like I said, I think that it makes for a happier seller when you're not asking for favors or changes to the deal because somebody really didn't look at it closely.
And to your point, like you said, often we see in this market that you're buying my house and, you know, and someone's buying your house. So sometimes, like you said, asking for a couple extra days really is a big deal simply because, you know, they're supposed to be out into the next house. So you can, especially if you're in like, you know, a 3 or 4 way transaction, it can be a big deal to have everyone move dates just because you didn't think things out, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Every deal is different. Everybody's in a different situation. Some people, you are correct, they're buying a home, but part and parcel of that is they're selling a home. Some people living at home with their parents. Some people, you know, have an apartment, and it's a question of giving notice. So it is very important that those dates be firm and that those dates are abided by, because most people in most transactions, they're relying upon that.
Absolutely. So if we go from an offer to purchase to the purchase and sale agreement, what's the difference, Michael?
Well, that's the final contract that's prepared by the lawyers. So as I talked about the offer to purchase, that has the basic facts. You can put in there that the parties need to get to an agreeable purchase and sale agreement. And if you leave that in there, well, now we're at the purchase and sale agreement prepared by lawyers. First draft is prepared by the seller's lawyer, and then the buyer's lawyer makes his or her revisions to it, contains all the terms of the contract based upon the offer, and we have a situation where the buyer signs first, they give the money, the rest of the deposit, and then the seller signs the agreement. And the purchase and sale agreement sets out the terms of the deal. And as I mentioned, these terms are primarily taken from the offer, includes the name of the parties, the legal description of the property, the purchase price, the mortgage commitment date, the closing date, maybe any seller credits, and whatever else the parties need to discuss that were not addressed in the offer to purchase.
So, Michael, all this has happened, you know, we have the offer to purchase, and then I, as the buyer, get scared. I'm like, wow, man, this is a lot of money. And I decide that I don't want to go forward for whatever reason. Can I do that? Can I just back out on people?
Well, your signature is binds you to the agreement. Usually in a typical deal in Massachusetts, this is by no means the law, but it's a lot of custom where you purchase a property, the seller asks for a 5% deposit. You do have some outs, some contingencies, usually an unsatisfactory home inspection, but that's done at a very short time after the offer is signed. Maybe it's done within 10 days. The other loophole is obtaining a mortgage. Obviously, you can't purposely sabotage that by, you know, by quitting or something like that. In today's world of COVID, you want to make sure that the commitment date is as close to the closing date as possible. So if something does happen, you won't qualify for a mortgage. You can get out of the deal. There's certainly risk and reward, and the seller is taking the property off of the market. That's a risk. And that at some point in the transaction between you need to get out of the deal on a certain date that you didn't obtain a mortgage and the actual closing date, that risk is going to be held by the buyer.
So like you said, if it's just I get afraid and I just want to back out, I could potentially lose my down payment?
Correct. Correct. In the real world, I mean, you can try to negotiate, but the seller could say, nope, you've lost your deposit. So before you sign that document, you got to make sure you're 100% sure this is what I want.
Makes sense. So then we come into owner's title insurance. And I've heard people say, well, the lender has title insurance. Doesn't that protect me? I would take it, it doesn't.
Well, a typical comment to me is, well, I did research on the internet, I found that they were a ripoff, or they were stealing from me. I don't need that. I have never done a closing where a lender has not requested a lender's policy. There's two types of policy. There's a lender's policy, obviously that protects the lender, and there's an owner's policy, which protects the buyer of the property. Attorneys do title examinations of the property. They try to make sure that there's no issues, but obviously there may be hidden issues and hidden defects that even the most careful practitioner wouldn't be able to find. The lender's policy, that will expire when you refinance. The owner's policy lasts for your entire portion of your ownership. So if a prior mortgage was not properly discharged, the title insurance company would come in and they would be responsible for getting the discharge. It has saved many closings for me. It is imperative to have. And I guess my response is, if you don't think it's worth it, well, I know every time I buy a property, I always get owner's title insurance, and I would never buy one without it. So it's something that you don't want to use. I guess it's like buying life insurance. You don't want to use life insurance, but you know what? When you have it, it's there to protect you, and that's exactly what this is for, to protect you.
Makes perfect sense. Like I said, sometimes people just, you're trying to buy a home, you know, maybe money might be a little tight, and you're trying to save some money, but I would agree with you that would, you know, if I was buying a home, I know I have it on my home. If I was buying another one, absolutely, you know, wouldn't consider doing it without. So, Michael, we've got about a minute and 30 seconds left. Let's talk about what's your contact information. How can people reach out to you if they have questions about real estate?
Sure. Again, my name is Michael Barrows. The name of my firm is Divine Barrows LLP. We've been in business since 1992. We're located at 40 Washington Street, Suite 200, Wellesley, Massachusetts, 02489. If folks want to call me, they can pick up the phone. My direct line, 617-723-1827. Folks, if they would like, they can also reach me by email. My email address is mbarrows, B-A-R-R-O-W-S, at divinebarrowslaw.com. Divine is D-E-V-I-N-E, B-A-R-R-O-W-S, L-A-W.com. And I'll be sure, if somebody has a question or a problem, I'd be more than happy to help. I'm licensed to practice in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. I'm also licensed to practice in the state of Rhode Island, and I'm also licensed to practice in the state of Florida.
Michael, I really appreciate you taking a few minutes to call into the show, and as always, thanks for being my friend.
Thanks, Kevin, and thanks for having me on. I really enjoyed it.
Great. Have a good day. Bye now.
You too, no. Take care. Bye-bye.